Welcome to Star Party, an astrology and tarot podcast that serves up both soulful evolution and bedazzled celebration. I'm astrologer and hypnotist Sandy Citron.
And I'm astrologer and tarot reader Bess Matassa. We're so glad you're here. Let's get the party started.
Star Party people, we are here again. We're back, and it is Libra season, and we are going to do a gentle treatment of the Libra theme, but this is meant to be listened to at any time. And our topic today is clarity. So we pulled that one because, well, we'll get into it, I guess. I won't give anything away, but we're going to talk about clarity and how to find it, I think.
Let's hope.
Let's hope. Hey, Bess, how are you doing today?
You know, I'm doing all right. Just, I actually went to the eye doctor yesterday, so talk about clarity. I have pretty poor vision, and it's been like deteriorating every time I go to the eye doctor. I'm just like, is this just, you know, my fate for life? It's just going to be like a slow dimming of the lights over time.
Yeah.
But this was the first time I went to the eye doctor that it was my prescription has stabilized, which is cause for celebration. But now I'm going to need reading glasses because I'm old. So
that's what happens. It's like whatever your normal, like I know of people who've gotten LASIK and then like the next year they need reading glasses anyway because it's like they waited too long to get it.
It's interesting to think about like metaphorically that you start out, if you have problems with your vision, you start out maybe having like distance problems. And then over time, as you get older, it's a closeness problem. I don't know. I haven't really like felt through that metaphor, but I'm going to be working through it, I'm sure, as I age into my bifocals.
Yeah. It's interesting. We're starting out talking about vision, you know, metaphorically speaking. Because clarity is about like clearness and being able to see clearly. You know, we use these kinds of words. At least I'm a visual thinker, so I tend to use words like, oh, yeah, I see what you mean. And, you know, these visual metaphors to describe how I'm thinking. I've been thinking recently about how we can easily have too much information. Like thinking about the vision, I did 23andMe. Genetics testing it. And it came back that I have like the genes for advanced macular degeneration.
Oh, Jesus.
You know, so I'm like thinking about that. I'm like, okay, I got to wear sunglasses all the time and try to protect my eyesight. And it's like, is that too much information? Like, do I know too much now?
Yeah. The 23andMe, I got the health part of that too. There's like an ancestry part and then the health part. And the health part, it's funny, like people's attunements to information too. I just don't really care about it. I shouldn't say I don't care about information, but I'm not like a person who stabilizes in the world through like getting more information. Mm. Like I was spending the week last week with my mother and her whole world, not her whole world, but she like really stabilizes or seeks security through getting more info. And for me, it's like the more info I get, the less stable I feel, actually. And it's just better when I'm just like, you know, so I got that health stuff from 23andMe and I just like don't even look at it. And like they'll send me an email being like, we've discovered some new terrible thing. And I'm like, nope, I'm just not opening that email.
But, yeah. I mean, you know, this pregnancy experience I'm having where it's like there's so many screening tests you could do for genetic information. And you know, what I'm reading on Reddit from other people who are doing genetic testing and what I'm experiencing is that like the more information, kind of the more anxiety you can tend to have.
Yeah.
But for a lot of people, like having that information is the thing that helps you navigate it. So I'm kind of in the middle. I'm not sure where I sit with it. This has been an eye-opening experience where I'm kind of realizing that I thought I was really grounded by information, but I think actually it can make me spin a little bit more than I thought. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
So this is a good place to start for sure. Do you have any opening thoughts about the concept of clarity or?
You know, I do.
You know?
You know, actually, I'm so glad you asked me because I do have a few thoughts to share with our listeners. So, you know, without getting into too granular of detail. I was confronted with the situation last week in relationship to another human that was very clarifying. Some information was revealed, or maybe not even information, but you know, it was just sort of what on the surface felt like a startling turn of events in an existing relationship. And I was really in kind of the throes of a certain expression of clarity and feeling into kind of how that coursed through my body. And of course, I think it's different for everyone, but I think there is sometimes this notion that we have with clarity where it's like, it's on high, you know, we're on top of the mountain. There's like this flash of insight. Mm-hmm. Everything is illuminated. And there's kind of this like underlying kind of value, I think we sometimes attach to that notion that it's going to feel good. And it's sort of like how sometimes people talk about intuition and they're like, oh, my intuition, my knowing. And it's beautiful if it feels good, if it feels, you know, naturally aligned and empowering and all of that. But sometimes it feels fucking terrible to like have to rise up to the level that the soul wants to take you or whatever that is, whatever, however you want to explain that. And not to say that it has to be like good or bad or, you know, whatever, but I was really thinking about, for me, the experience of clarity. It feels like a weight sometimes. It feels kind of like a down and in. And it speaks, I think, to an inquiry into what matters. You know, when we have a flash of clarity, I think there's a kind of separation that happens. There's a kind of like sieving almost that happens. And I was looking at the definition of the word clarity and its association with the word purification, which is sort of this process of sorting and sieving and refining and, you know, figuring out kind of the gravity of our situation. Because clarity, I think, demands that we realize on some level that we have a limited time here on Earth and kind of what are we going to do with it? And are we going to sort of make good on that, quote unquote? And so there's a great responsibility, I think, that comes with clarity. It's not just this always this just like, you know, feel good flash of insight and then you're off flying around the world and you've just got clarity and it's all good. I think there's a certain call to sort of rise up and really work that edge between, like, you know, we talk a lot on this podcast, that edge between sort of fate and free will, quote unquote, and like what we can sort of will into being and what we also know to be like aligned in a larger unfolding of our will, you know, concurrent with other forces. And the other thing I'll say, and so, you know, it was very like kind of caught up with the theme of limitation for me that we covered earlier, in the podcast, I think last year. So that kind of got the wheels turning a little bit. I was like, okay. And then a couple of phrases came through to me, borrowed from other teachers that I think I'm just going to sort of drop and then we can kind of, you know, bookmark them and maybe they'll come back to play. And I think that this is a quote from my tarot, one of my tarot teachers, Lindsay Mack. I'm not totally sure, but in one of her teachings at some point, she says something along the lines of, someone else's no is also your no. When someone says no to you or something says no to you, it's also your no. And I don't want to say that to implicate like, you know, larger structural constraints or people, you know, struggling to break through no's that are like imposed no's that are imprisoning in some way. That's not what we're talking about. But in this situation that arose last week and along the lines of this theme of clarity, I was really thinking about that. And I was thinking about, you know, sometimes clarity comes not through like our will or our deciding or our ego that like it's a yes or it's a no for us. Sometimes it also comes situationally, you know, where something sort of arises. And then on some level, we know that this no or this yes or something that's externalized is also our soul resonating on the frequency with that thing that appears to be imposed sometimes. And then the second phrase that was coming through for me is a phrase I think that's written in one of Alana Fairchild's like oracle decks. She's this like mystical, oracular being. And the quote was just, I think it was a card that I pulled last week around this issue. You can either play it safe or play it true. And I was just thinking about like what it means to play it true, you know, in the context of this conversation around clarity. And it's not always safe feeling, and it doesn't always feel the easy thing, you know? And so Yeah. I'm just going to drop that in and we'll see how it goes.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that ties in really well with what you were just saying about the, that clarity isn't always this like uplifting, totally positive experience. You know, that surprised me when you said that, because I think in my mind up until you said that, I was like, oh yeah, when you have clarity, it's just like the angels sing and the sun comes out and you know what you're supposed to do. And when I think about the moments where I've had really big clarity, it does feel like there's a satisfaction of at least knowing a direction, you know? And then, yes, there are these like big risks that you often will have to take to change something, to act in a different way, or to push against something, against that limitation, to kind of like work your way out from one situation into another. And so there can be like a grieving process, or there can be a change process or a transformation process that then has to happen, which can be really a lot, you know?
Yeah. And I think it's what you're saying really speaks to that kind of edge between Libra and Scorpio too.
Yeah.
You know, because in Libra, and again, you know, we're going through the wheel of the year, you know, to kind of activate these, each of these archetypes in, you know, listeners and these principles. And, you know, we start to see for miles in Libra, and then we got to fucking do something about it.
Yeah. Scorpio. We have to change.
Like, yeah.
We have to change. Yeah. It's really interesting. I was also thinking about the line between Virgo and Libra with this conversation, how like, in Virgo, you have to kind of, you know, I was reading a blog post about clarity and they're talking about, you know, maybe take some time to sit in silence or, you know, meditate a little bit. And I was like, yeah, you know, if you can kind of get your daily moment to moment life, which to me feels very Virgo, you can get that like, you know, kind of grounded in the moment, which feels very Virgo. You can sort out a little bit. You can see, you can kind of understand what you're working with and then get to that Libra clarity. Mm-hmm. And then from there, as we're talking about the Scorpio cusp, then it's like, then you can transform. There's all these cool through lines. I was also thinking about how clarity is associated with your purpose. Like a lot of times when we are seeking clarity, we're looking for, what am I supposed to do now? Like, where am I supposed to go? What's my purpose? And when I was pondering that idea, I was thinking about Sagittarius and the ninth house and how, to me, when I think about purpose and I think about astrology, that's where I go personally. I know there's other places you could go, but that's one of the places. Of course, there's, you know, the North Node and other wonderful things. But Sagittarius is like, okay, where am I shooting my arrow? Where do I want to direct my energy, you know, fire myself forward? And Sagittarius is a mutable sign, which means that direction is always changing and that we have to allow that there's always going to be a new purpose or that there's always going to be a new clarity, you know, that like you're going to be having this clarity constantly reveal itself to help you understand and get a greater perspective, to understand where you want to put yourself. And that that's not just a one and done kind of thing, that it's like always in motion and changing. And then I started thinking about the other, the last houses of the wheel, which the 9th, the 10th, the 11th, and the 12th. And I was like, oh, we just talked about these when we did the Hope episode. Yeah. But it's like, it's really interesting to see how they also correlate to clarity, you know, with the 9th house being like, okay, I need to feel into my direction. The 10th house being this kind of limitation maybe that you're talking about. Mm. Well, how's it going to work? How's this clarity going to work? What's the structure of it? The 11th house being, you know, the big changes that then that information that you've gained can help you create those innovative new directions, these newer big ideas about what you want to shift in a big way. And then maybe the 12th house is a kind of spiritual clarity or a sense of deep knowing. So I don't know. It was kind of all over the place. But one more thing, and then we could get into our snacks. I was like thinking about, okay, we're talking about this during Libra season. What does this all have to do with Libra? You know, like, why are we doing this? I was like, I know Libra is about clarity, but how is Libra different from the other air signs? Because all the air signs have to do with thoughts, ideas, moving those ideas around, coming to a new perspective, which has so much to do with, you know, how you're thinking about yourself and where you're headed and the world around you. To me, I was like, okay, well, what about this? Gemini is like all the different information, which we were talking about kind of the beginning, you know, like, let's just get it all. Let's have all the information we could possibly get. And then Libra is that balancing scales and weighing the information to make a decision, you know, like, okay, I have all the facts. How do I sort through them? And how do I weigh it out for my own kind of sense of where to go? And then Aquarius would be taking those ideas and that decision that you came to with Libra and maybe making some big conceptual change, you know, or coming to some new innovation. So I think all the air signs have a role, but with Libra, we're really finding this moment of decisiveness or this moment of kind of weighing everything out and coming to that clear line or direction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What you're saying about the changeable, you know, these moments of directionality and then the mutability of these moments. It's for some reason when you were talking, it was just reminding me of like times when I've really been in like kind of a tarot pull frenzy, you know, where, and then I'm like, you know, kind of like knowing that rhythm too in us. And it's very like particular to who we are and particular to a certain kind of coming to a certain kind of stillness to know. But like, there's that sense of like, oh my God, I could be pulling a tarot card like every minute on this issue. And it's always changing. And like, that's the nature of things, you know, and like, where is that edge too between the forever flux of the directionality of our lives, you know, and also like having a sense of like, okay, I'm going to move in this way for this time. And then I'm going to inquire again and like knowing that. So it feels very much like the conversation around clarity is also really necessitates a deep knowledge of our own intuitive timing too, and when to sort of move on a knowing and when to inquire again, you know, about sort of situationally. And, you know, so if you feel so inclined to go back to our intuitive timing or whatever it was called, the rhythms episode, that could be interesting too. And I think we might have talked about Virgo there too. So it feels very in line with this Virgo Libra Scorpio conversation for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. So
snack time.
What's up?
Anybody
what's
hungry?
Up with the snack?
So at first glance, I got a little glossy with my snack. I was convinced it was like I was gonna bring the North Node and or the Midheaven to the conversation. That was where it was. And in my mind, it's interesting because it's sort of, I think, like your Sun and Moon conversation around having Sun in Libra and Moon in Libra. I get a little garbled sometimes with the Moon and the North Node because my North Node is on, I mean, the Midheaven in the North Node because my North Node is on my Midheaven and conjunct my Moon. So I get all messed up in that world. But anyway, I was like, yeah, it's that kind of aspirational. It's, you know, kind of a soul check in the directionality of North Node or the directionality that the Midheaven offers. That's it. And then, you know, the shit went down last week. I was having this very clarifying experience and I was like, nope. Like, what am I actually in right now in real time for this snack? And it's Saturn for me. And it's really like, the phrase or the words that were coming through for me around Saturn were the shape of things and the stakes of things. And I think Saturn really gives us both. You know, it gives us sort of the contours, a kind of like almost like no escape. Like, we can't fake Saturn. We can't fake not that we can fake any part of the chart, you know, but there are parts that are maybe a little bit more shape-shifty or, you know, kind of like playfully engaged. Not that Saturn can't be playfully engaged, but there's a certain visceral, physicalized, this is it. Like, we've come in with this box, with this kind of like these contours to sort of bump around in with regard to our Saturn placement. And, you know, this is part of the stuff of which we're made. And how do we kind of make peace with that? And, you know, there's always a coincidence in my mind between Saturn and Chiron, you know, which I think maybe for me, the difference between those two is Chiron is more, in my mind, associated with a kind of letting, a kind of transcendence of that sort of touchy place, where Saturn is more maybe connected to a certain efforting or a certain like more conscious application. But it's a kind of, I don't want to use the word burden, but it's a kind of, yeah, it's a kind of weight that we're like strapped with, we come in with. And so what does like weight have to do with clarity? You know, I think it gives us a sense of like what's at stake here and what matters. You know, and it's almost like a kind of natural separator. It sort of is like, okay, like there's a real story underneath that. Not that other parts of the chart are not the real story, but there's something about kind of getting right and getting clear around our Saturn work that I think creates a lot more ease, you know, maybe, or a lot more natural lubrication in other areas of the chart. And when we perhaps feel stuck, it feels like on the surface, maybe a paradoxical place to go to in the chart, because it's like, oh, when I feel stuck, do I want to go into like the more stuckness of like the perceived limitation of Saturn? And I think yes, because it sort of reminds us, it's like reminds us of like what has the weight, you know, and what is actually really, really vital, you know, and I think refocalizing on our Saturn placement, you know, in times when we maybe feel unclear, will be like, oh, okay, there's like work to do around this, or there's just like a knowingness of a like, this is a vital placement in my chart where there's gravity, where there is a sense that this is part of like what matters for me in this lifetime. And if I can kind of give that some attention, naturally, maybe some other things that are more extraneous will fall away, because there is a certain kind of vitality to Saturn and Capricorn. And it's interesting connected to this conversation about Libra, because you know, I think all astrologers do that, this, and, you know, probably a lot of people just, you know, playing with astrology at different, you know, levels of engagement, where you start to sort of like smush certain things together in your mind that on the surface, like, don't necessarily resonate with one another. But then you're like, whoa, how did I decide that like this equals this? And for me, interestingly, Capricorn, Saturn, and Libra have always been somehow smushed. You know, and maybe you can speak to this a little more, you know, especially as somebody with a lot of Libra on the midheaven or in the 10th house. But there's something about that kind of, you know, it's not like we often associate Libra energy with weight, you know, it's kind of like the air signs are a certain spaciousness, a certain weightlessness, a certain liberation of weight. But there's also, there's a kind of task or there's a responsibility in that seeing. So anyway, I just want to offer up a kind of clarifying gesture or clarifying energy current for each of the Saturn placed in each of the elements. And you can play with this in whatever way feels good. You can do it by your Saturn sign. Of course, Saturn moves every, you know, 2.5 years. So you're also like, is that right? I always fuck that up. 2.5 years.
You're right. 2.5 or 3.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're, you know, it may be that you want to touch in with the sign that it's in, or it may feel that that's a little bit, you know, less personalized to you, and you might want to touch in with the house placement or both. But I just sort of was connecting to this kind of current that runs through each of Saturn and each of the elements, and how clarity might arrive, or how we might experience the clarifying process around our Saturn placement. And so for the first element of fire, and, you know, take whatever you want from this image or from this energy current. For Saturn in fire signs or in fire houses, a kind of gesture for clarifying or a gesture for clarity that's around rising up, a kind of emergence, letting things kind of come from the internal channel and like burst up and out and sort of spill over. And just being aware in moments where you might be seeking clarity, or where clarity is sort of coming to you and you're trying to kind of like manage it or figure out how to take the shape of it, that there's a certain signature in your chart that's connected to clarity or a seeing or an understanding of directionality as a kind of emergence or a kind of in and out and up. And then the second element, Earth, Saturn in Earth signs or Earth houses, a kind of descending current, a kind of weightiness of, you know, Saturn's already a kind of weightiness, but sort of a doubled weightiness, a kind of gravity, a kind of settling sensation of clarity coming through sort of a falling to earth or a falling down and in. And then thirdly, air, a kind of swooshing motion, a kind of clearing motion, a kind of a clarity that sort of fans out from side to side, could be sudden, could be quite sort of active, activating, generative in that way, that's, you know, maybe quicker paced, but that kind of spaciousness from side to side that happens. And then lastly, the gesture for Saturn in water signs or water houses, a kind of carrying, a being carried by a current somewhere else, and a letting ourselves sort of take the shape of that and be transported toward clarity, and a certain kind of letting around that willing, you know, because there's something in clarity that I think for all of these placements really comes from like the underlying question of like, how do we be in the world in a way that like balances our desire to like will and find it and direction ourselves and figure out the purpose and all of that with our nature, you know, with like the natural way that things reveal and come to us. And I think that's really what I was feeling about this edge between clarity being, you know, not that it can't be a cause for celebration, but also that there's a kind of responsibility or there's a kind of choice we're making to sort of rise up and meet that. And that's sort of where I landed with Saturn.
Wow. The responsibility of clarity. That's real.
Yeah.
You know, ignorance is bliss. Yeah, Saturn, Libra, Capricorn. Saturn is exalted in Libra, you know, Saturn being like this kind of like clear boundary, you know, the limitation, and then Libra also thriving with this fairness or justice, like, okay, here's the boundary, here's the line, this is what's fair, this is what's right. So, I mean, that all makes so much sense. Yeah, so it's interesting that you pulled Saturn, because when I first was trying to wrap my head around this, like, I'm always starting these mental inquiries into our conversation, like in the morning when I'm the most foggy and like kind of blurry. So it takes me a while to get into it.
That's funny, because I'm always like up in the middle. I'm always like at like 2 a.m, like typing a note on my phone, like, oh, I
really?
Yeah. We're having like different cycles, circadian rhythms.
We always are. I think we're like on different. Yeah. But we found this sweet spot of like 10 a.m. to record. It works pretty well. But I was thinking about like myself and like, where do I really crave clarity? And of course, throughout my life, there's been different departments that I've really craved clarity in, you know, career or relationships. But for the last couple of years, it's been finances and money. That's to me been like the most healing, or the most, I've been joking recently that like my budget is my self-care, you know, which I think is like really true. But I've been like, why is it that finances, having clarity around that, feels so big to me? And I was like, well, think about my second house. I have Capricorn there. And it's like, with that knowledge about money, I feel like I can structure things. I feel like I can make a plan. And then I feel like I kind of know my boundaries. So I kind of got to the similar place as you without really having as much advanced reasoning behind it as you do with Saturn. But Saturn being the ruler of Capricorn, I was really feeling this. And I was like, well, how do we know? You know, I was like, well, is it true for maybe a lot of people that if you want to know where clarity will be really influential in your life, look at the cusp of the house that Capricorn is on? You know, maybe that would be like a fun, it for me, I'm not sure if that's true. I haven't asked enough people. And I was like, well, do I have enough time to do a poll? Or like ask, you know, some Facebook group. But yeah, that's an interesting question to me, is like, is that a thing for people? But I feel affirmed hearing your snack is Saturn. So that's pretty cool. But what I did come to is like maybe more than like my usual snack, but kind of the idea of like, there's so many areas of our life where we might want to have clarity. And often people are coming in for an astrology reading because they know that the astrology chart can offer some kind of clarity. That's the whole point of it, right? At least that's how I think about it. So I was thinking it would be really fun, if you know your birth time, to look at your chart and kind of go through each house and each life area. And you know, you have to know what each house means, right? So that's pretty easy to do. You can look it up online. I'll kind of run through it quickly. But then just look at the sign there and be like, okay, some quality of the sign is what I need to find clarity in this life area. So for example, you know, I pulled a chart here that is just, you know, we're just going to use for the signs on the houses, but I've had a lot of clients recently who are Gemini rising. So I thought it'd be fun to pull a Gemini rising chart. So the first house would be your identity. Like if you want clarity around like, who am I or who, how do I like to be moving through the world? You know, what do I want more of in my everyday life as I move through the world, as I share myself with other people and kind of as I embrace my own identity, my own individuality. If you have Gemini there, this is really about learning, you know, or maybe bringing in information, and maybe that has something to do with other people and that you need your friend groups to really be a big part of your life. And so if you're looking for clarity around identity, it's like, maybe look at those like relationships with friends or at your relationship with learning. Second house being finances, could be, or it could be self-worth. You know, each house has multiple meanings. If you have Cancer there, I'm just kind of interpreting these for the first time as I go. But if you have Cancer there, maybe it's really about looking at your past, looking at your what you learned from your family to be true, and looking at your emotions around money and the feelings that come up with money and doing some deep inner work around money with your emotions. The third house would be your, again, this could be your community, your friends. This could be how you're investigating the world around you, how you're learning. If you're a Gemini rising, you have Leo there. It's about really having fun with all of these things and like boosting up your creativity and your self-expression and your fun and your flair with the other people in your life, and also with your engagement with how you're investigating the world around you. We could keep going. Should I keep going? Why not? Do a full workshop?
Keep going. It's good for listeners too to be, you know, we're mocking up a chart right now with the Gemini rising, but it's sort of like the approach that you could take. It's like the sign on the cusp of the house sort of coloring the approach to the house's contents. You know, it's almost like, which really is like very exciting for me to think about clarity as a kind of approach, you know, because obviously sometimes clarity comes from the outside in, but we can also like put ourselves in the body of to lead in, you know, not to say that it's all about our will, but I love this idea of like the signs on the cusp of the houses being a kind of like lead in. It's not about control, but it's about this kind of like, I think there's another word for approach, but I'm totally blanking on it.
Yeah, it's kind of like, as you're saying that, it's making me think this could be fun to do this every year, you know, just as a personal check-in, like a journaling prompt, you know, like we're, because it's, you know, we were talking about how clarity is sometimes a burden or sometimes a responsibility. And it's sometimes, you know, we have to be prompted to go find it because it's easier to stay where we are. It's easier to stay in the fog a little bit until that gets too uncomfortable, right? So kind of having this as maybe an annual like prompt that you do could be really fun. So the fourth house, this would be your connection to your home, where you live. It could be your family, the family that you came from or the family that you're creating. Lots of questions around family and what kind of family situation you want to have here. If you're Gemini rising, you have Virgo on this area. It's like about really getting into the moment with this and feeling into how you feel in your space. Like if you're talking about home, it's like, where do I want to live? Maybe that's your question for clarity. It's like, well, how do you feel moment to moment where you are living now? Or how are you feeling moment to moment when you go somewhere new and you're thinking about that as being a potential place you want to move to? You know, what's it feel like in your body, the logistics of how you're moving through the world? You know, is the commute really long? Things feeling disorganized? These kinds of practical questions. And you could do that same kind of analysis with family and the people. You know, do you feel like that things are kind of, maybe it's about organization, or maybe it's about feeling grounded or feeling connected to nature, you know? You can really play with the theme. It's just, these are starting points for you to then take and run with. The fifth house is about your connection to your creativity and your connection to your joy, your connection to feeling like you're a new kind of beginner in the world, you know, like that you're childlike, that you can approach everything with a kind of like wonder and joy and pleasure and fun. And so if you're Gemini rising, you have Libra there. This would be about really playing with other people, you know, that partnership kind of theme, really having fun with friends and also your creativity through art, an expression of aesthetics and beauty as Libra rules beauty and aesthetics. So really enjoying the way things look and smell and balance and feel in your balanced environment. The sixth house would be your daily life organization and your health, along with your work. You know, each house rules a bunch of different things. Scorpio there. This would be about, you know, sussing out your emotions and the deep underlying things that are happening below the surface and kind of helping to lift those themes, maybe their fears or maybe their transformations that are happening or things you're letting go of, these deep feelings, trying to lift them up to the surface and somehow then understand how they're affecting your everyday life. That's what I might think of it, you know? So if you're like, oh, I need clarity around, you know, how to feel healthier, it's like, go look at some of those deeper themes or deeper feelings that might be spurring something. Along with going to the doctor, you know, like, I'm like really balanced when it comes to health. It's like, it's not all about feelings. There's also, you know, there's a lot of things that go into health. The seventh house is relationships, how you're kind of butting up against other people in your life, especially in those one-on-one important relationships. And, you know, of course, it's also about clarity, as we've been talking about, and kind of knowing what you think and being able to weigh your own thoughts and beliefs against those of other people and come to compromise. So with Sagittarius there, this is really about identifying your values, your ideals, and your philosophies, and having those be a big part of your relationships, and maybe getting a big perspective that feels fired up and exciting to bring to those relationships, to bring to those conversations and to your ideas about life. The eighth house, transformation, big change, intimacy, and union are big themes that are reflected in the eighth house and your deeper emotions and healing. So with Capricorn there, it helps to have some kind of structure or some kind of way that you work with these, you know, deep themes of life. So if it's about intimacy, it's like, what are your rules for intimacy? What are your limitations that help you feel safe to open up? You know, I think that with intimacy, we need to have a real grounded sense of what we want to say no to and what we want to say yes to, so that then we can feel safe to kind of let go and get messy with another person. And in terms of transformation, it's about this kind of timeline of your life and being able to take a big look, you know, at where you're going and to be able to do the kind of hard work of transformation. The ninth house is big perspective, your values about life, your ideals, your philosophies. If you have Aquarius there, this makes it really important that you're able to think really big and that you're able to be really conceptual and always get yourself into a new mindset or a new way of thinking that can help you gain a perspective and help you feel fired up about who you are, your philosophies of life, and who other people are and how other people are enjoying life as well. So that's kind of abstract, but they're both kind of abstract themes. The 10th house career is the simple way to talk about it. And here we have Pisces. So it's about really feeling in your career as if you can feel really connected and that you can kind of hone and tune into your own spiritual sense and bring that deep connection to your emotions, to your work or your career or to the world in some way that you're bringing. Maybe it's charity or maybe it's a sense of compassion to the world in some way, or maybe it's about art or transcendent spirituality that you're bringing to the world, something that helps people kind of feel beyond what they're feeling in the moment. The 11th house would be big, innovative changes. It's also community and groups on the future and your perception of the future, where you're headed. So with Aries there, this makes you really fired up and really ready to take action on your ideas for the future and really wanting to see yourself as a leader in groups. The 12th house is your spiritual connection, your connection to the subconscious, to your intuition, to your emotions. And with Taurus here, you have to feel as if you can really ground yourself in your, ground yourself in what is ungroundable, you know, ground yourself in non-reality, to feel as if that your worth is not dependent on what you do, but rather like what you are, and that there's a kind of connection that you feel to your spirit that's sustainable and can keep on going. So, you know, this is a fun place to start. And I'm sure in your own interpretation of your chart, you could take this much deeper. If I was talking to a client right now, I'd be able to be much more specific, but we're speaking very generally.
Yeah. I love this because it's like this little interactive journal of intentionality where you can go to the chart and, you know, say what arena of my life wants more clarifying right now, and then you know, have this kind of blueprint for the approach. It was making me think too, and not to, we often don't, we don't like double dip our snacks, but it's making me think of like, it's another like little mini snack with regard to the houses that was coming through when you were speaking. I was thinking about, you know, this kind of like dual approach, not that there's only two approaches, but there's a certain approach of around the theme of clarity, around that intentionality, around how we show up, what area wants clarifying, us kind of going in and approaching. And then there's also sort of like the call of clarity, that sort of outside in that happens. And I was thinking about that with regard to the houses in terms of where there's thick concentrations of planets. And I think this is something that I really see with clients very often. Where people will look at their chart maybe for the first time, or they're starting to learn their chart, and they're like, holy shit, like, why is everything over there and there's nothing over there? Or, you know, and I'm kind of like, it's not a problem. Well, first of all, it's never a problem. And it's just like a concentration of energy. And to me, the houses are these like landscapes of learning. So if you have a bunch of planets in the sixth house, you know, you're like on a study abroad trip to Virgo country, and you're, those planets are sort of learning, you know, the ways and mores of that, you know, local culture. But I was thinking about, just by element, by house element, you know, looking to see if you have a stellium, it's like a thick concentration of planets, or even just starting with like where your sun is, your sun and your moon, and looking to the element by house and saying, okay, like what's the call there? Like what wants to be like ignited, or what is like asking to be kind of lit up or attended to? And I was thinking about, you know, in the firehouses, it's really like clarity comes by learning to express, by learning to sort of heat things up and expose, you know. And then in earth, earth houses, this is, so firehouses are 1, 5, and 9, and then earth houses 2, 6, and 10 are learning to root, you know, planets placing here are, you know, gaining clarity by learning to touch down, you know. And then water houses 4, 8, and 12 are learning to release. They're kind of tenderizing. They're taking a dip. They're learning to kind of ride the flow of things. You know, and then the air houses 3, 7, 11 are learning to aerate and cultivate detachment and circulate and question things and adjust. So just something around like, you know, noticing, doing this like whole really cool like journal or attending to the house cusp that of something that you want clarity around, and then also looking maybe elementally at where there are concentrations of planets or where your sun and moon are around, you know, what's naturally asking for you to attend to or look at the illumination of.
Yeah, I love that. Wow, this is a rich episode, guys.
Yeah, you better be, you better like, what's the word? Now when I'm thinking of like rich snacks, I'm thinking of like getting gout or whatever, you know, like,
yeah,
when people get gout when they have too rich. No, it's delicious rich. It's fortifying rich. You're not getting, it's not like Stilton cheese and, you know, bourbon. No. Maybe it is, but
yeah, we're not overdoing. Can you have too much clarity? Probably.
Probably, says a double Libra. Libra.
Yeah, she knows.
She knows. Back from the edge of clarity, tails from the limits. So I'm going to offer up just like a little little tarot snack here. You know, the first card that came through for me was definitely Justice. And this is the card in the major arcana that's naturally ruled by Libra. You know, and I don't often like, for some reason, this topic of clarity, a lot of like quotes were pinging for me, which isn't usual. I'm sort of, you know, I don't tend to be like sourcing quotes from things, but I was really called to reread Jodorowsky's book on, I forget what it's called, The Way of the Tarot. And he has these cool treatments of each of the major arcana cards where they like speak in the voice of themselves, where it's like first person narration from the card. But there's a part of the Justice entry where he says that justice is concerned with giving ourselves what we deserve while removing from ourselves what we do not want. And the question of like giving ourselves what we deserve is like a very rich and complicated one that we could spend a lot of time unpacking. But I think there's something about the Justice card's energy connected to sort of like serving at the altar of our soul. And, you know, Justice card comes through a lot of times when it's like, we know, and I think we talked in the Major Arcana episode about like, you know when you know, that was like the phrase for justice. And there's something around that really connected to clarity too. And like that knowing can feel any which way. It can feel like, you know, oh Jesus, I wish I didn't know that right now or whatever. But it's like, we know when we need to, like, I don't know, this may sound really banal, but it's like, sometimes things are held from us, like not deliberately by spirit or something, but like we know when we need to know too, like when we're ready to know. And I think that this can get, we can get really caught up in self-recrimination and shame sometimes around like, fuck, if I had only known, or like, why didn't I see, or like, why didn't I see that situation? Or, you know, why did I waste all my time? And this card really comes through. It can be a reality checker, but it can also be a soother of some of those sensations. And it says, you did everything you could in the moment where you were with what you had. And now you're over here and we know this, and now we move on this. And so there's this real like kind of, I think, a forgiveness that connects to this card too, you know, forgiving ourselves, forgiving others for what we didn't know or what we didn't act on, you know, clarity, you know, maybe that was obscured in another moment. But now kind of parting those clouds and seeing, you know, what's here and making an honest assessment without having to go into self-recrimination about it. You know, and then I was kind of called to bring in three other cards from the major arcana, just sort of along this theme of the elements, you know, and the Saturn elements. And, you know, you can either use this to work actively with your Saturn element or element of house placement, you know, or you can just sort of like pull these four cards out of your deck and pull one in terms of what the flavor of clarity is that's being asked of you right now. And, you know, if justice is obviously ruled by Libra, so it's connected to an air element. The card that came through for me for the water element, although it's a little complicated because it's both water and fire in astrology, but was the Tower. And the Tower is a card that's ruled in the major arcana by the planet Mars. So it has a resonance, obviously, with fire, with Aries, but also with Pluto, with Scorpio, with water. And, you know, if you want to get like more juice on each of these cards, you can go back to the major arcana episodes of the podcast too. But the Tower really, I feel like, connects to that sensation of being carried that I spoke about with the Saturn placement in water, where, you know, the Tower comes through and it liberates and it clears, but it's like, it can be super, it can be any flavor. It can be any flavor, but often it feels like something kind of has shocked the system and now we're getting transported. And it's like, how are we going to let ourselves, you know, be transported by this kind of force? And I think the phrase that we talked about on the Major Arcana episode of the podcast was like, may the force be with you. You know, how do we see it not as being done unto us or just us solely doing, but how do we become how do we meet it and kind of partner with it? And then for the element of fire, the Sun card, which is ruled by the Sun, connected to Leo. And this is clarity through a kind of simplicity, through a kind of emergent simplicity of just like, here I am, here's what it is, here's what I am, you know, here's what the situation is. And can there be a kind of warmth in that? Can there be a kind of experience of clarifying and having that come closer to who you are in that moment, bring you closer to who you are, your essence in a sense, which really feels connected to the Sun card, this idea of both what's essential and what my essence is and connected to that. And then lastly, the World card for the Earth element. This is a card that's ruled by Saturn. And this is the kind of clarity of settling in and down into the shape of it, being like, okay, this is the clarity I've got around this situation. This is what I know to be true. How do I fit my body into that now? Not augment or force my body to fit into something that it doesn't, but like, this is the natural shape of what's being rendered clear. And how do I then kind of settle into that and find a seat within that through that kind of earth element, that learning to root and touch down? So it could be fun to pull these four cards out. Just give a, you know, give a pull, see what kind of flavor of clarity is coming through, and or use them as guides to help texturize the other activities that we've talked about, you know, the house cusps or the concentrations of energy in elemental houses, and the Saturn sign and the Saturn placement by house.
So good. Yeah, I think going into the hypnosis here, which what I'm going to do is offer you kind of just a practice you can try. What would be great is to do pull these cards and or maybe do some of the journaling we talked about earlier with going around the wheels of the house and basically kind of make a little workshop for yourself, where you're mining what type of clarity you might want right now. You might be focusing in on different life areas. You know, maybe it's about work, or it's about a sense of purpose, or it's about your connection to your community and the work that you want to do in the world. Maybe it's about health or family. Do some journaling. And then what we'll do here in the hypnosis is a little bit of intuitive work. We haven't talked so much about intuition in this episode, but you know, a lot of clarity can come from connecting in with yourself and your own sense of your intuition. So I have a hypnosis strategy that I like to employ for this that, you know, may work for you. Don't worry if it doesn't, but try it out for fun. And I think I might've shared it before on here, but it's fine. We'll just do it again. And this is like what I think of as like kind of the chalkboard method, although there's a couple of different chalkboard methods in hypnosis. But what you want to do is kind of identify, or at least, I mean, I would say, okay, we all have a higher self. If that fits into your viewpoint of the world, great. So you can use the term higher self. If not, you know, you can think of like my true self or my intuitive self, you know, whatever words feel good for you. I'm going to say my higher self in this one. You can also give this higher self kind of a fun name just for this practice. So I use this in this technique called the Centrum technique, which I'll do with clients when they really want to shift something in hypnosis. We do the Centrum technique. It's really cool. And we call the higher self Centrum, kind of like those weird vitamins. But you could call the higher self, you know, Bob. I don't know. You could name your higher self Lucy. Or you could just say my higher self, you know, whatever is fun for you. I'll say Centrum, since that's how we do this technique in the hypnosis that I do. So what you want to do is close your eyes. Well, first do that journaling that we talked about. Maybe pull the tarot cards, kind of mine a little bit. What are you trying to find out here? Come up with a question about your life. It doesn't have to be a yes or no question. It could be like a deeper question, but something that you're really yearning to know. You could come up with two questions or three questions, but it helps to have them written down. And close your eyes and kind of settle yourself into a comfortable seated position. Maybe lying down, and imagine some kind of surface that you could write on. So that could be a chalkboard, it could be a blackboard, it could be a whiteboard, it could be a computer, it could be a journal, it could be anything that you want to write on. And when you have that ready, then go ahead and write the word yes, and take note of the yes that you wrote there. You know, if you typed it on the computer, see, you know, what font it's in, if you wrote it on the board, see, you know, is it cursive? Is it block letters, all caps? You know, what does this yes look like? Just really examine it. And then you're going to go ahead and you're going to erase or delete this yes. So just watch it disappear. And you're going to ask your higher self, you're going to ask Centrum to go ahead and write yes on the surface, on the board or on the computer. And you're going to watch that yes appear. And then look at that yes, take note, what color is it? Is it, what font is it? Is it in uppercase, lowercase? Notice if it's similar or different from your own. And you can go ahead and you can try to erase or delete that yes. Sometimes you'll be able to do it. Sometimes it might be a little harder because it's not your yes. It's your higher self's yes. Either way is fine. Now you have a clear board there. You can clear the board. And you can write down your question on the board, on the computer, on the paper. Watch yourself write it out fully. And then you can leave it there, or you can delete it or cross it out, depending on what you want to do, whatever feels right for you. And then you can ask Centrum or your higher self to write the answer, and you can watch what appears there. And you can do this with other questions. You could just get a little conversation going. You may also want to try this before bed as you're falling asleep. Sometimes it's a nice time to feel as if you're in a bit of a trance, and that can be wonderful. You can also practice this. You know, some people have something come through right away. Some people won't. That's totally normal and fine. If you continue to practice, you might find you have different results, which is also really excellent and fun. So that's a kind of neat little thing you can do. Sometimes you get something coming through. Sometimes you don't.
Oh man, it's interesting. I was, the yes that I wrote, that I quote unquote wrote, was like in pen, all caps, you know, like yes. And then the yes that was written by what I was calling Justine. I don't know why. But Justine wrote a yes that was like this little evanescent yes. It was all lowercase, and it was sort of like, you know, when you send an emoji and you can texturize it where it sort of sparkles, you can press your, it's like one of the options you can pick where it just sort of emerges. And then when the person touches on it, it kind of illuminates and then it disappears. And then I asked a question and the answer to it was not a straightforward answer at all. It was just like, you've got to disappear to reemerge.
Whoa.
And I was like, really, I was connecting it back to the Saturn snack and the cusp snacks and thinking about my Saturn placement in the 12th house.
Oh, yeah.
And like that clarity for me, like as much as my whole fucking fire stellium and everything wants to like it to be like me going at it and like figuring, you know, like whatever, it's never the way the clarity comes to me. You know, it's like I've got to completely lose the contours of things. Like, you know, so yeah, this was really, so cool. I'm like really excited to work with this technique, you know, moving forward.
I just
got
full body chills. I love that. Oh my God. Awesome.
Ugh. I love it. Oh man. Illumination, liberation, responsibility. What matters most, seeing for miles and miles, wherever you are in this world, we hope that the clouds are parting in whatever way feels fit, and that you're able to rise and meet whatever is being illuminated. We'll see you again, hopefully, on November 1st for our Scorpio deep dive into some topic that'll be revealed to you soon. And until then, take care of yourselves, and we're loving you from afar.